Chapter 1. The Blockfront High Boy. For centuries, museums and collectors placed very little value on American antiques, viewing them as primitive imitations of the French, English, and Dutch pieces that inspired them. It was a Lithuanian-born dealer named Israel Sack who, during the Great Depression, first put early American furniture on the radar of art collectors. A cabinet maker by trade, Sack was the first to identify the singular style and remarkable craftsmanship that characterized 18th century American furniture, before even a single major museum had a collection devoted to the genre. Once asked by one of his sons how he could tell the difference between a masterpiece and a functional but common piece, Sack simply replied, "It speaks to me." I, too, got spoken to one morning as I walked up Madison Avenue on Manhattan's Upper East Side back in the early 1990s. Turning onto a random street, I was stopped dead by a stunning piece of furniture visible through the window of a secluded antique shop. A two-part chest of drawers in the squat Chippendale style, like true dressers stacked one atop the other. The piece was beautifully spotlit to show off its rich maple color and its two enormous carved fans. The top of one was centered between two upper drawers that were raised near the ends and sunken in the middle. There was also three ornamental finials on the pediment, each shaped like a jester's hat, a touch of country style that belied the otherwise sophisticated, big-city appearance of the piece. My wife Lucia and I had been buying antiques for a year or so at this point, because they were cheaper than comparable new furniture and much more appealing to the eye. I'd studied the different periods and styles in books such as Early American Furniture by John T. Kirk, former curator at Yale Art Gallery, and New England Furniture at Winterthur, published by the renowned museum. But I'd never seen anything like this. Obviously, there were antiques, and then there were antiques. I stood on the sidewalk transfixed, as if my shoes were glued to the pavement, staring through the window as if the high chest and I were the only two things in the world at that particular moment. Eventually, I regained control of my senses and slowly ambled over to the door of the shop. As I tentatively entered, I was greeted by a thin, wide-eyed, sandy-haired man of indeterminate age. Was he in his late 20s or mid-30s? It was hard to say. "Hi, I'm Lee Kino," he virtually exclaimed.